Michigan blew us out, and I still remember the week, that week right after that Michigan game, we had gone outside, we had taken the tape, we literally buried the Michigan tape. We watched it, buried it, and we said, never again, that ain't gonna be it, that's not our standard. And from that game on, we went, I think it was on a 9-game winning streak, all the way through to the Big Ten Championship and won it all. Barely missed the playoffs, unfortunately. They put Ohio State in before us. That really would have been our first time in the playoffs. We got robbed that year. I will forever have that opinion, but definitely a legendary year for sure.
What's going on, folks? We are launching the Retain the Roar campaign here at State Media in partnership with Happy Valley United. This is extremely important to me personally and the entire program moving forward. I came to Penn State in some of the darkest times. I deeply care about this university and this football program. That is why I'm done talking. I'm going to lead by example, and I'm working to pull a bunch of other lettermen together to get behind this campaign. It is integral for us to participate in NIL, and not only participate, but dominate to match the expectations that we all have for this program. We're in it to win championships, so let's put our money where our mouth is. I'm taking the first step. I hope that you all follow me. Our goal is to raise $500,000 to close this spring transfer portal cycle and ensure that we retain the roar.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
What do I gotta do to wake you guys up? Can we get a We Are chant, I think? Yeah. Is that what we need?
Yeah, come on.
Let's start it off.
We are
Penn State.
We are
Penn State.
We are
Penn State.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's get it now.
I think they up. Appreciate you guys coming, as Hack said. B Bell here, Jason Cabinda. We'll settle in a little bit. Is this close? Is this too close? Or are we good?
We're good.
We're good. We spent a lot of time.
That's my brother.
Yeah, in the linebacker room. I'm going to kick this off asking Jay a few questions to kind of get the linebacker mindset going. We had LeVar in here, our big brother, and get your guys' questions ready as we open it up for a Q&A. So I'll start with this, Jay. When it comes to a Penn State linebacker, what are the key characteristics that come to mind that you need to have?
First thing I can think of is toughness. Toughness, grit. You know, there's a blue-collar attitude about playing the linebacker position here at Penn State. Then it's work ethic after that. Being the hardest worker, being a leader. When you're a linebacker at Linebacker U at Penn State, you got to be a leader of the defense. So finding those leadership qualities and guys who lead, guys who set the example by their actions and what they do on a daily basis. You know, when I first got here and I saw B Bell and I saw the Mike Holes, and those guys, those are guys I was able to look up to, and they showed me the way. And I think that's what Linebacker U is. It's guys who have set the path and kind of let us know how things are done, how they go about their business, and then other guys continuing to carry the torch, showing those guys the way, and then passing the torch to the younger guys. And I think that's a tradition that has come and come year after year after year that we've been able to continue to keep on going. Micah Parsons, Jesse Lukita, B-Bell, myself, Big Sticks is back there. So you have all levels of generations of linebacker you that's come through here, and that's kind of been the example that's been set.
Great answer. This guy is ready for TV. Whenever he's done playing with the Lions, whoever it may be, he's set for TV, radio, whatever it may be. You see the smile, Detroit, all over Detroit. But I'll come in with this one. So we got linebackers. We have quarterbacks coming up next, and, like, you know, we're known as the leaders of the team. So what is it about leadership that either came natural to you or that you had to learn? And I'll start off myself with even doing this now, kind of being more vocal, you know, not afraid to talk, but not being afraid to say whatever needs to be said to a team, to a player individually. And when it came to leadership for me, it was about learning your personnel. You know, approach everyone differently. Every player, every coach, you know, talk to them a little bit differently, learn their story. Learn what's going on. Some guys may need to be yelled at. Some guys may need a little rub on the shoulder, you know.
And that's discernment, yeah.
Exactly. So that's for me. What about you?
I think for me, you know, when I first came in, you know, I mentioned a guy like Mike Hole. That's a guy I really, really looked up to when I first got here. And I think the thing about Mike that impressed me the most is just the way he went about his business every single day. You know, He didn't say much, but he was so respected because of the example he set, because of how hard he worked, because of how great of a player that he was, that he led in that type of way. And I think, you know, we talk about discernment and, you know, how to lead, and whether it's being vocal, whether it's setting the example, whether it's pulling a guy to the side, you know, all those different kinds of things. I think for me, I was never afraid to be vocal. I've always had a very outgoing personality in that sense. But when I first got here as a freshman, you know, it was work and shut up, and you'll get your time. And I think that's kind of an example I followed from Mike Hull. And then, you know, when I started my sophomore year, I became the Mike linebacker and stuff. And that's kind of when I was really thrusted into that leadership role. And I think that's when I got more confident being vocal and talking to the guys. But I think it all just starts with accountability. And accountability starts with yourself before you can govern anybody else. And I feel like that's one of the things that I did while I was here.
I love it. I love it. That was just to kind of get us in the right mindset. We're going to open it up to Q&A right now. Whatever you guys got, personal questions for Jason and myself, Penn State questions, whatever it may be, hit us with whatever you got. And we'll make sure you guys get a mic on hand so everyone can hear the question. Who wants to kick it off?
Anybody got any questions for us?
You got one. He said, who is your next team to Cabinda?
Well, I'm a free agent. I will say this, although I don't know where I'm going, I do feel like I want to be back in Detroit because I feel like I got some unfinished business. So I'm going to just leave it at that. What other questions we got, man?
I see a Stick City shirt back there. Nah.
Stick City? Got two sticks here, man. Blessed.
Penn State questions, current, past, lifestyle. We're two Jersey guys. We got any Jersey in the building today? There we go.
Okay, a little Jersey. Where y'all from? From where? Okay, Bernardsville. Okay. That's where my high school coach lives out there, man. Coach Barati. I don't know if you know.
Where you guys from?
Livingston.
Okay.
That's in PA, right?
No, it's Jersey.
That's Jersey? Okay, there's two. There's a Livingston in PA, too. Okay.
You said by North? Okay.
Okay, in North Jersey. Orange. Okay. About 45 from me. I ain't too far.
I just spent a little time. I spent this last year.
I know you got a question.
Okay,
what you got?
Best high school players you guys played against.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Best high school players we've ever played against. Let's go. I played against another linebacker by the name of Ant Sarah. I'm from South Jersey, Atlantic County. He went to Holy Spirit High School, wound up going to USC. And this was like the first kind of big player in my area. I think, I can't remember, who's the coach of Seattle? Or the old coach?
Pete Carroll.
I think he flew in on a helicopter to meet him. Kind of a old James Franklin move, but he was probably the best player, I'd say.
For me, man, I got to say two, honestly. One would be Jabril Peppers. Jabril, Paramus. I played him when he was at Paramus. And then Minka Fitzpatrick when he was at St. Peter's Prep.
My cousin played against Pepper.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man. He was a... Yeah, he was unbelievable. I mean, he did everything. Offense, defense, returner. I mean, he did everything out there. So he was a very impressive player I played against. He's still in the league. I think he's with the Patriots now, I want to say, or the Giants. Yeah. So, yeah, he was a great player.
Hardest guys to tackle?
Oh, that's easy for me. Zeke. I say Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott was probably the best player I've played against. Played against a lot of great running backs in the Big Ten. Wisconsin guys, Michigan guys, but... I say Ezekiel Elliott had everything a running back needs.
I would say, we're talking at any point in time? Oh, just college? I mean, I hated chasing Saquon Barkley at practice. I'll tell you that.
he's made us all look a little silly at times. I'll admit that. I won't show you the footage, but it's happened. Put it that way.
He definitely has. But opposing running backs? Maybe, Zeke for sure, no doubt about that. But maybe Justin Jackson, too, from Northwestern.
Yeah,
he was a really tough player. He was
underrated.
Really good. He was really good, real shifty.
Question right here. What do you wish you knew when you were playing that you now know?
The question is, what do we wish we knew now that we could have used back then in college?
Probably that my body won't always feel invincible. So kind of just... You know, when I got into the league and I got a few years in, like just really, really honing in on taking care of my body and doing all the necessary things on a daily basement, on a daily basis from a treatment standpoint, massage standpoint, you know, PT, physical therapy, you know, getting all my injuries that I had during the last season, you know, taken care of during the offseason and stuff of that nature. Because when you're younger and you're in college, man, you feel invincible. Like, I used to heal like Wolverine, you know, and I'm not like that anymore.
I always said that. I always said it was like his African blood, like Black Panther. He literally would roll an ankle, and I'd be out for a week, ankle spatted, cuts, bruises. He's back on the field no matter what.
All I mean is a night's sleep, and I was good. But not anymore.
I probably attest to that. Nutrition and everything like that. Yep. Just, you know, further your career. Because at the end of the day, the body is all you really have.
Yeah.
And the mind. I'd probably say get into a little more mindfulness. I do it now as older, trying to slow things down. But back in these times, there was a bunch of stuff going on. Probably get into the yoga and things of that much more.
Yeah.
Great question, though. Great question.
I'd say golf is my therapy unless I hit it far right off the tee box. And then I get a little angry and it becomes non-therapy for me at times. So.
What's going on, y'all? Christian Hackenberg with State Media in the Pocket. This segment is brought to you by Utz. Utz has a phenomenal line of potato chips and other snacks. We were fortunate enough to be able to enjoy them all weekend. They kept us fed and ready for all of these interviews that you all are about to enjoy. They've been a fantastic partner of ours, and we're looking forward to continuing to bring you guys exclusive content here at State Media.
That's a perfect B-Bell question right there.
Yeah, so the question is, you know, the transition between the different linebacker positions. I actually was more, I was the opposite. I started at Sam. You know, I think coming out of high school, I was a middle linebacker, but college level, I was a little more wiry, kind of that safety star position. But as I built up, I moved into the wheel position, got into the box. You know, it's a tough transition. You know, you go from playing in space on top of the slot receivers, and then going into the box and, you know, you're banging with tackles and guards every play. You know, it's a similar transition that a few linebackers now are taking. And I'm excited to see it because the wheel position, when you get in the box next to these guys right here, there's a lot more action. You know, you're in every play dang near. And it's a lot of fun. You know, you play football to hit and make plays. Sometimes out in space, you kind of just out in space. Sometimes. Great question.
Mike, can you talk a little bit about the current linebacker core and maybe the words you might give to the young guys
who are starting position? Yeah, I mean, I really love our linebacker core right now, man. I mean, it's a ton of competition, ton of guys right now competing for spots. But, you know, I think our approach, because we had a lot of competition in our room, too, between me, B-Bell, Mike Hall, Naeem, Troy Reader. I mean, we had some guys. And I just feel like we always took the competitive mindset of iron sharpens iron, and we really did a good job of making each other better and kind of having that accountability in a room from that standpoint, from a work ethic. I mean, we had leaders. Like, I talk about Mike Hall all the time, but, like, Mike was truly our leader when it came to the work ethic and kind of set the standard from that standpoint. But learning from each other, you know, helping each other out, watching film together, getting closer as a group, kind of all those things. You got anything?
No, yeah, like you said, the young core now, you know, I love it too. It's full of competition. We keep hearing about it. We talked to a lot of players and coaches yesterday in the interviews. Hope you guys check all that content out. It seems like the competition is stronger than it's ever been. You know, guys, you know, shifting around different positions, finding their space. There's newcomers coming in. There's guys that haven't really made a splash yet on the field that I think are prime and set this year. And then there's the vets, you know, the Kobe Kings and guys, the Lucas that, you know, also still out to prove something, that they're the best. So I'm excited. You know, I truly never concerned about the linebacker room. Haven't been since I at least stepped out of here. They're going to make plays. And it's going to be fun to watch, man. Great question. Any more questions?
Yep.
This is the perfect football weather. Hey, Jason, He's in Detroit where it's cold, but he's a Florida resident now, so he's gotten soft on us.
Get a little soft, I ain't gonna lie. I can't do the cold anymore. For me, it's like a true, perfect, like, fall day. Leaves just started falling. It's about 63 degrees. Not too hot, not too cold, just right in the middle. That's a perfect football weather to me. It's like when you can't even feel the air. That's the perfect weather.
I like this weather because you have to, like, have a little grit. It hurts a little bit, you know. That's why guys go out and pregame with no shirt to kind of get acclimated. I've never done that, but I'll go no gloves. But right now, I don't think I could do it. I don't know. Great question. I got a question for you guys. Anyone yell it out. What is your favorite year in Penn State history to date? Yell it out. 1994. 1994.
Okay.
What's another one?
2016. Yeah, 2016. I heard it. Legendary year.
No, well, 2014. Can you give us why? That's a different answer.
Perspective. Okay, yeah.
First bowl game back after the sanctions. Thank you.
Pinstripe Bowl.
Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
You guys got to ask Hack about that one. He was, I think he's on camera right now.
Yeah, he is.
Trying to make him blush. But yeah, no, the Pinstripe Bowl was a big one. That was fun. New York City, as you said, bowl ban was lifted. Great time at Penn State. Obviously, I know you guys probably flooded the streets. Everyone was happy to hear it. That was a big moment, for sure.
Any other favorite Penn State football years?
Did someone say 2016? We can talk about that.
Yeah, she said 2016.
2016, there we go.
Legendary year, Big Ten champs. Came up short in the Rose Bowl, unfortunately. That one still stings to this day, I promise you.
1968.
Ooh. Okay. You remember that team's record?
Oh, man.
Wow. Sheesh. Wow. That's
good
crazy.
Great years. But sure, yeah, that 2016, man. What is? Oh, okay.
That's
no,
crazy.
2016 was a magical year because it reflected life, especially now, you know, a few years removed. We had so many ups and downs. Even before the season, so many tough conversations. Right over there, the big hill, baseball hill, we used to condition. So many tough battles on that hill going into the season. And to me, as a senior leader at the time, I always knew we'd be successful, but there was a little question mark, like, what is this year going to look like?
Yep.
And I had no idea, but I always give credit to Naeem Wortman, senior linebacker, kind of my big brother. He brought me into Penn State. He was the first person to start talking about winning a championship. And, you know, it was a little foreign because, you know, we team wasn't necessarily championship, you know, record.
That year, 2016, that was the first year that we had 85 scholarships on our team. So that was the first time where our team was actually fully loaded. And for the most part, it was fully loaded on the young end because we had new scholarships that just came in. So expectations weren't necessarily super high. The two seasons before that, we had kind of had somewhat average season. We were like 8-5, 7-5, you know, barely over 500. And then me and B-Bell both went down with injuries early that year. We took a couple of tough losses, you know, to Pittsburgh and to Michigan. There were question marks, you know. Michigan blew us out, and I still remember that week right after that Michigan game, I think it was J-Luke, right?
It was dropped.
We had gone outside. We had taken the tape. We literally buried the Michigan tape. We watched it, buried it, and we said, never again. That ain't going to be it. That's not our standard. And from that game on, we went, I think it was on a 9-game winning streak all the way through to the Big Ten Championship and won it all. Barely missed the playoffs, unfortunately. They put Ohio State in before us. That really would have been our first time in the playoffs. We got robbed that year. I will forever have that opinion, but definitely a legendary year for sure.
Hey, Jay, can we get your perspective on being right up there in Nittanyville, Ohio State week, me and you are coming off injury 4 or 5 weeks. You were there?
For real?
Do you remember what this guy said? I'm pretty sure everyone does, but.
What did I say?
You don't remember?
Who did I say specifically?
You promised a win against the number two team, Ohio State.
I did. I had been out for the past 5 weeks because I had a thumb injury. I had surgery. My surgery got infected. I had to get emergency surgery to clear the infection. So, like, I was like a pit bull foaming from the mouth by the time we got to that Ohio State game. We came to Nittanyville that day. And I was just so geeked up. I was so pumped. We were unranked, I believe. Yeah, we were unranked at that time. We were unranked. They were the number two team in the nation. I came out to Dannyville in front of you guys, had the microphone, and I promised y'all that we were going to win that game. We come out that day. This guy has 19 tackles in his comeback. I think I had 14 or 15 tackles. Thumbs up. Everybody tells me about the thumbs up picture. I mean, Grant Haley with the kick six that everybody knows about. I mean, that was probably one of my most special memories here at Penn State was that game. Because I feel like that was truly the game that where our organization as a team, we got over the hump.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big moment. Shoot, I remember my family was parked out by the hospital. So I didn't even get back to my apartment until 12, 1230, showered up. I'm pooped. Like you said, you know, first game back. I didn't even make it out to celebrate. I'm not going to lie.
I think after that game, so the whole crowd had flooded the stadium. All white, you know, the white out. It was craziness. I had to do a post-game interview at midfield. And right after my interview, the whole field was so flooded, it took me, no lie, probably 30 minutes to get back to the locker room. I missed Coach Franklin's post-game speech. I missed, like, the initial celebrations of all my teammates by the time I even got to the locker room. I mean, that was really, really a crazy moment, man. It was awesome, truly.
Yes, one of the best games. But thank you guys for this linebacker portion. We're going to take a five-minute intermission. And everyone's favorite guys coming up, the quarterbacks,
Trey QBs.
And I hope you guys get your questions ready. Thank you.